Some of you might have noticed that we don't have this candle lit anymore. Some. Maybe most of you, that's just... Okay, we have a few. We have a few who noticed. I said some. I think a few is two. That's some, right? So what's going on here? This is not really part of our tradition, but Mark McKim introduced this candle years ago, and we've continued using it. If you're part of the Catholic or Anglican tradition, this is a Paschal candle, and usually it's lit during the Holy Week, the week of Jesus' suffering. But we've used it a little bit differently. We're Baptists. We can do what we want. And we use it as a symbol of Jesus' earthly ministry. You'll remember that our season of going through the story of Jesus begins with Advent. And we have an Advent candle. We light four candles. And then we celebrate on Christmas Day and we light the Christ candle. That God was born to Mary and came and lived among us. And then when the Christmas season is over, we bring out this candle and we light this candle as a sign that Jesus walked on this earth, ate with people, lived with people, walked among us through his death and through his resurrection. We keep this candle lit. But today we are celebrating the ascension, that Jesus has been lifted up to the right hand of God and been placed above all authorities on heaven and on earth. And yet we miss his physical presence with us at our side. As much of us who have experienced the loss of someone we know miss that chance to be with them physically. We long to once again be with Jesus face to face. But we will light this candle from now till next Christmas to remind us that by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us. The resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. One Christian scholar from today, a New Testament scholar, John Dominic Crossan, he says the appearance and the disappearance of Jesus is the event that never happened and yet happens all the time. Now, what is he getting at? Well, it has always been hard to believe since the day that Paul stood in Athens and proclaimed the resurrection of the dead. It has been hard to believe that a human being could rise again with a new life, not simply resuscitated, but given a brand new life. It has been hard to believe that a human being could ascend into a heavenly place and be given a position of authority over heavenly beings and over earthly beings. It has been hard to believe. But it has become increasingly hard for us to believe in the last 300 or 400 years, and we sometimes call since the Renaissance, the Reformation, and the Enlightenment, and the arrival of modernity. There have been two responses, many responses, but two that, broadly speaking, still exist today. Some reject all of that part of the story and say what really mattered was that Jesus was a good teacher. And so they apply this in their own lives and they try to live a better life and achieve remarkable self-mastery. Many of the early American presidents in the 1700s and 1800s, this is their sort of faith, rejecting Jesus Christ, fully God. Rejecting Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, was not the faith of those presidents or many of the educated people of the time, but rather that they would follow Jesus as an excellent teacher and reform their lives. There's been another response. Friedrich Schleiermacher wrote two very well-known books that have shaped theological discussion now for 200 years. And he suggested that what Jesus knew was that God is love, that God is present here on earth, and that is what he shared with people, that God is near you. And if you would just understand God's love for you and God's presence with you, that is what Jesus came to achieve. Now, Jesus didn't literally rise from the dead. Jesus didn't literally ascend into heaven. But when he died, it was as if he came back and was with them. It was as if he was raised from the dead. This is what John Dominic Crossan is teaching, that there was no literal resurrection, there was no literal ascension, but it was as if Jesus was still alive and with them. And now there is this other figure, the Christ, who has been given all authority. I hope you don't remember these things, because I don't believe them. I should be clear about that. But I want to outline them. I have so many friends who are not believers, and I know that they try and live good lives. They're generous people. They're loving people. They try and do what's right. And I don't even think they object entirely to the idea of God. They respect people who pray. But where they draw the line is that Jesus Christ, a human being, might ascend into heaven is just too much to believe. I wish there was some way to communicate them that what they are holding on to, in my mind, just has no comparison. It's not as compelling a story as God becoming one of us. It's not as compelling a story as God dying for us. It's not as compelling a story as Jesus Christ rising from the dead and beginning the resurrection of the dead, of a human being ascending into heaven, knowing that one day heaven and earth will be united. Heaven will descend to earth, earth will ascend to heaven, and we will all live together with God. That is a far more compelling story to me. It seems far more powerful when we have to deal with suffering in our own lives. Not just this notion that God loves us, but that Jesus actually walked and suffered and died himself, that God did that for us. But setting all that aside, in the end, it isn't about me taking good ideas and trying to make them make sense to this world, but rather me taking what I believe is simply what happened and accepting it and trying to bend my life toward that truth, submitting to what really happened. But more than all of that, in the end, what I have, the only thing I have, is Jesus. And I wish there was for everyone the joy of knowing what it is to love Jesus, to know him. Jesus alive, near us, but in heaven at the moment. And to know what it is to love him and to be loved by him. Now, the ascension of Jesus accomplished many things. It wasn't simply that on the cross we were forgiven, but Hebrews teaches us that Jesus had to take that sacrifice into heaven itself. And right before God, he presented himself as a sacrifice for us, once and for all. But I want us to talk about three things in particular about the ascension. Jesus has ascended. All authority has been given to him. And therefore, the question for us personally is, day after day, am I willing to accept Jesus' authority in my life? Jesus has secondly, and therefore we as human beings are called, we are summoned to ascend with him and to be seated with him. Not seated as in joining him at a table, for he is seated on a throne. And we are summoned, we are called to join him on a throne as well. Jesus' ascension means that we are to ascend. But in the end, the third thing is just to come back to this one thing. Jesus has ascended, he is alive, he is real, and that we should fix our attention on him, to love him and to know his love for us, as it's poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, knowing that we will meet him one day, one way or another. So first of all authority has been given to Jesus. One human being out of all of human history has been chosen by God. One human being born of a woman has been put in charge of all creation. As the author of Hebrews puts it, has been put in charge even of the angels. For a while he was placed a little lower than angels, but now his name far surpasses theirs. In the gospel story, we heard Jesus being lifted up. But many of you would be familiar with the story from the book of Acts, from the Acts of the Apostles. Jesus in this story was lifted up, And then in different translations, it's put different ways. A cloud covered him from their sight, a cloud took him from their sight, or he went into the clouds. I think the idea here is likely what we heard read for us from Daniel chapter 7. Daniel, in a dream, had a vision of a human being appearing in heaven before God. And he came on the clouds and was given all authority. Jesus here is taken by a cloud from their sight. We used to sing a song when I was a child. I don't know if any of you heard this. And if my mother's listening, shame on you, Mom. It's a way up in outer space. God has prepared a place. Countdown's getting lower every day. And it's at the, at 10 and 9, 7, yeah, 3 and 1. And it goes, you count down to 1. Countdown's getting closer every day. Jesus did not just keep going up and up and up. Even the ancients did not have that sort of confused idea. They knew that heaven was not some realm that they might travel to, but they knew that somehow it was near them and all around them, close and yet out of reach for humanity. But here we see Luke painting a picture of Jesus being taken on the clouds into the throne of God and being given all authority. The ascension is Jesus' coronation. The victory of God was certainly won on the cross and on the resurrection, but this is his coronation. Recently, many of you might have watched King Charles' coronation. He was already declared king, but this was a special day. This was the moment when the people of England had to come and bow down before him and swear their fealty. They had to swear their oath of loyalty. They had to take an oath to obey him. The nobles came and had to make this vow before him: you will be our king. Jesus ascended, and since then has been accepting oaths of loyalty and obedience from all creations. The angels have bowed down before him and called him king. And people, by the millions now, across history, have done this themselves and have said, Jesus, you will be my Lord. And one day, according to 1 Corinthians, death itself, the final enemy, will fully yield to the authority of Jesus Christ. But all of us have been given time to choose, to acknowledge the authority of Jesus in our own life before the day when we stand before him. A few weeks ago, some of you at Mark Anderson's farewell dinner would have heard Melissa and Villavec sisters singing, Yes, Your Lord, Yes. It's a catchy tune. We sing, Yes, Lord, Yes, to your will and to your way. I was clapping along with it, and I was listening to the words, and my clapping started to get a bit slower. To your spirit I'll obey. When your spirit speaks to me, in my whole heart I will sing, Yes, Lord, Yes. Oh, it's a catchy tune to sing. But am I willing now to obey Jesus today? I remember when I was younger, it seemed so exciting, an exciting thought. What will Jesus ask me to do today? Where might he lead me? What occupation might he lead me into? But now, to be honest, things are a little bit settled. I'm comfortable. And I have some friends and a good home. I have a nice family. I really like this work that I'm doing now. And there's a part of me that hesitates to say, Yes, Lord, yes, I will answer and obey. That is an intimidating thought for me. Are you willing today to say yes, Jesus? To say yes to the ascended Lord? It's confusing for us in these days because so much of our discernment happens within our own hearts. Who am I meant to be? Where am I feeling most fulfilled? But this question of what do you want me to do, Jesus, is a slightly different one. It may be that I will be asked to do something I'm not entirely comfortable with. But are you Lord of my life? The second thing I wanted to speak about Jesus' ascension was that we are called to ascend as well. As a human being, he went before all of us, as a path maker, as a pioneer, as a guide. He has made a way for us into heaven, and he says to us, follow me. Sometimes we talk of our journey to heaven one day as a time when we will travel to a place of pleasure and happiness, and I am confident that that is true. But the calling of the ascension is slightly different. Hebrews calls us partners with a heavenly calling. Paul in the Philippians says that our goal is the heavenly call in Jesus Christ. We are called to become like Jesus, and we are called to join him in authority. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Genesis 1, that human beings would have dominion over all created things, over all creation. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't you know? You will be judges of angels. Are you ready to be in charge? Are you ready to be in charge of angels? I'm barely in charge of my own day. I set a schedule for it, and I don't always manage to pull off what I intend to do. I have ideas about what a good life would look like, and day by day I fall short. Are you ready to be in charge? This is your heavenly calling. If the question was put to our world of what does it look like to be in charge, it's to be assertive, to be strong, to be visionary, to be passionate. But Jesus teaches us something quite different about leadership. To forgive. To be meek. To be good. To be gentle. To forgive. To be pure. To be compassionate. To rule not as the Gentiles do, lording it over those over whom they have authority, but to become a servant of all, as Jesus became a servant. With Paul, I say, this is what God has taken hold of me for. This is the promise he has for me. This is my heavenly calling, but I have not attained it yet. So this one thing I do, I put behind me all of what's happened, and I strive again today towards my heavenly calling. Paul in Colossians puts it this way. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Jesus is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Jesus in God. And when Jesus, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed in glory with him. This is your heavenly calling. This is what you are being pulled towards through Jesus. Day after day, fix your attention on him. And this final thing. Jesus is alive. We may not see him, but Jesus is alive. Jesus is in heaven, the right hand of God. And one day you will meet him face to face. I hope you know him. I hope you love him. I hope you know his love for you. In the story of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, Jesus was with his disciples for 40 days. And that is what we have been celebrating the season of Easter, for 40 days, from the Sunday of Resurrection to last Thursday, which was the Ascension Day. That was 40 days. We're observing it today because not every one of you wanted to come out on Thursday to celebrate. And it's too important not to celebrate together. In the story in Acts, it is clear that during those 40 days, Jesus ate with his friends. He stayed with them. He walked with them. And then he was gone. I know our grief and loss when we lose someone we love. And I know, not even having ever seen Jesus, the absence I sense, and how wonderful it would be to finally see Jesus face to face. There was grief and loss, I am sure. John Chrysostom, in the 4th century, wrote about this passage, saying that the angels, in their message to the disciples, were not correcting the disciples when they said, "Why are you looking at the clouds?" They were not mocking them, but they were seeking to comfort them. "You will look to the clouds, he's not there. He will come back." Now we think perhaps the angels say he will return in the way that he left. And I've tended to think about it that it means that he will leave in the mode, in that method that he left. He will return, rather, in the method that he left. So he left disappearing into the clouds, and that will be the way he will return. But Chrysostom suggested something different. Not the way that he left, but how he was, how Jesus was when he left. How was Jesus? Jesus was with them physically. Jesus was eating with them and walking with them and living with them. He was approachable. He was someone they knew, a friend, someone they loved. And Chrysostom says this is what the angel's message was. The way you knew Jesus when he left, he will come back just that way. When he returns with all authority, he will still be the approachable Jesus that you've always known. He will still be the Jesus that you know loves you, the Jesus that you love. As 1 Peter says, even though you do not see him, love Jesus and trust him. As the author of Hebrews challenges us, fix your attention on Jesus. Let us remain in Jesus, who is alive, seated at the right hand of God, and is returning one day to us. Thanks be to God for our hope and for the comfort we have through Jesus. Amen.